I'd like to have you turn with me to Matthew, the 21st chapter. I hope all you children will listen closely because our message is especially for you, but is for everyone this morning. Matthew, the 21st chapter, we'll begin reading with the first verse. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall then say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye daughters of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put upon them their clothes, and set him thereupon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all those that sold and bought in the temple, and threw the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. This morning I'd like to explain, and especially to our children, what Palm Sunday is. And we hope to explain this by illustration, and we hope it will illustrate the events that happened to Jesus the Sunday preceding his death. That we will draw from these illustrations the important values of what Christ taught that Sunday before he died. Our text finds Jesus going over to Bethany, a little village over here where he had just risen Lazarus from the grave. And he stayed at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so he came from Bethany over to Bethphage, which is just across the valley from Jerusalem. And when he got there, he says, You disciples go across the valley into the city of Jerusalem and get me a donkey and the donkey's little colt. So two of the disciples went over and found the donkey that Jesus was talking about. And when they began to take him, one of the owners said, Hey, what are you doing there? And Jesus says, The master needs him. And the owner said, Go ahead and take him then. And so Jesus was then presented with the donkey. And the donkey was brought to Jesus. And one of the disciples took off his cloak and put on the back of the donkey. And then they sat Jesus on the donkey. And then as they begin to do that, they really begin to praise the Lord and give credit due him. And so they tore palm branches from trees like this, hopefully a little bigger. And they begin to praise the Lord and to sweep the way and lay down the branches. So it was like walking on red carpet all the way into Jerusalem. And then they'd lay down the palm branches as Jesus went into Jerusalem on red carpet. Not really red carpet, but the palm branches made it feel like he was walking on carpet. And Jesus went in. Some took off their cloaks then and swept the way, and others put their coats in front so Jesus could walk in the smoothest way. They were presenting, just like when our astronauts come back from the moon the first time, a red carpet was rolled out and they stepped right on it. This is what they were doing to Jesus way back in those days. It was an entrance befitting a king. And they were proclaiming Jesus to be the king. He was truly king of the Jews that one day, and the people depicted him as the king of Jews. The children and the adults were saying, "Hosanna, save we beseech thee, the son of David." Expressions of joy, jubilation. Everybody running around wildly praising the Lord and saying, "Here is our Messiah. He has come. He's coming to deliver us from the Romans." Oh, but that's where they were wrong. The Romans had depressed Israel, made them slaves, but that isn't why Jesus came. Jesus was coming to release us from a bondage that was far greater than the Romans. The Roman Empire was strong and fell and may come again, but the bondage that we are still under is still here. We should today still be ringing out those hosannas. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of God." Right? Should we not still today be saying that? Amen? Today, Jesus is as much a Messiah, or more so, than he was that day he rode in on the donkey. When Jesus came to the edge of town, the town was swarming. Because they had to get their lamb and they had to get it slain and everything before the night of Passover, and everything was busy. People were just jamming the streets from all over the known world at that day. And they had come to celebrate the Passover service, the releasing of the bondage of slavery out of Egypt. Aha. Here comes Jesus. They're saying, "Who is this man that everybody's hooped a law over? Who is he?" And somebody said, "I think he's from up north somewhere." Others saying, "He's a prophet. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Well, Jesus stepped off that donkey and things began to happen when he did that. He was going to show the world and the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem who was really there to release them from bondage. He got down off the donkey, walked into the temple courts, and what did he see? He saw all kinds of cages filled with doves. Is that the right one? He saw them selling doves out there for tremendous amounts of money. These people had come from all of Israel and all of the other countries around Israel who were Jews to present up offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw these doves, and they were selling them for exorbitant prices. But before they could buy them, they had to trade in their money. The money the Romans had, and here's a couple pieces that show it, had images on it. Well, you know Israel, no graven image in the temple. So they had to turn it in for Jewish Hebrew money. Temple money back then, it was called. And so the exchange rate was robbery. They turn in a dollar and maybe they'd get a quarter. And then they had to take that quarter and buy exorbitant $10, $15 doves so that they could offer the sacrifice. And animals the same way for the rich people. The poor people offered doves. And so Jesus got off of that donkey and went in there, and he threw the money changers off and ran them out. And he overturned the cages of the doves, and the doves went flying in the air. Because he said, this house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a place of robbery. He says, you've made it a supermarket. Where is your respect for the Lord's house? The temple is a place that was built to worship God, and they had perverted it into making it a money and a shopping center. And Jesus would not have it. I see in all this charades up here this morning, and in this lesson from God's Word, I see three lessons. And I hope we learn them well this morning, because I think they're very important and often overlooked. First of all, that Messiah that rode in on the donkey, he's still our Messiah. He's no longer on a donkey. He spent some time on the cross, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and now is ascended at the right hand of God and is our Messiah and our Savior. He still should receive praises from us. We should still say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Praise we God for the Messiah. We should still be the ones that are resounding the message of Christ and his name exalted, but no higher and not above that of God. Anyone who minimizes this relationship has lost the true meaning of Palm Sunday. We must always remember to exalt the name of Christ and to praise God for the Messiah that we have today. It's hard to realize the week of Passion, and it brings me to tears every time I think of how the Son of God was treated by man. Beaten, spit upon, thorns driven into his skull by the cruel, sinful, dirty, filthy man. This time of the year ought to be a reawakening for our spiritual lives when we see how man did treat God's Son and our Savior, and what we have neglected in this past year to praise our Messiah the way we should. Secondly, I want to point out something. It was in the temple that after he cleaned it out and threw out the people that had distorted it, it was two people that he worked with, the sick and the children. He healed the sick and he talked to the children. He wanted them to come unto him and to minister to them. Children, not adults. As I look out here this morning, I see several children. Adults, that's tomorrow's church. It's not only tomorrow's church, it's part of today's church. These young children are an important part of our zeal and our admiration and our ability in serving God. I think we ought to have a greater and deeper concern for our children, that they're receiving the spiritual good that they need, that they're drawing close to the Messiah as they did in that temple that day. Our children are important. Nothing else is more important in our lives than to bring up our children in the knowledge of the Messiah. Teaching them, talking with them, telling them, bringing them to church, bringing them to Sunday school about the message of Jesus. Third lesson I'd like to see us learn from this little story is about the house of prayer. I do not compare the temple to the church today. Not in any single form can you do that. It's not biblical. However, our bodies are the living temple of God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. How we treat our bodies is how we would treat the temple of God. Is it perverted with other things? Is our mind and our body not on spiritual things? Have we dedicated and given our lives to the Lord in such a way that it is praiseworthy to Him? Not to our neighbor as they may see it, not to the person across the street, not to the person on the other side of town, but to God. How is our life standing? God does not dwell in a place made with hands. He dwells in a place made with His hands, our bodies. How are we treating our bodies? Are they set apart for the Lord? Are they being used of God? Is our energies, our hands, our mind, our bodies, our wills, our energies, our talents, are they being used for God? I would like to mention this place of worship. It is a place in which I think it's all right to jump for joy and clap for joy and to stomp your feet for joy. But I don't think it's a place in which we can run around and have games and use it for a gymnasium. Children, remember that. This is a place of prayer, a place of praise. We should always remember that when we do something, it should be done for fellowship, praising, or preaching the word. Let us not forget our children. This is an important part of this day because Jesus ministered to those children that were praising Him. The whole story about Jesus, what He did on that last Sunday before His death, is meaningless, absolutely worthless, unless we apply His message for today. So please remember these three things. First of all, remember that it was Jesus who was being praised. Not the pastor, not the elder, not the deacon, not the janitor. It was Jesus who was praised. Let's make our lives so we praise that Lord today. Our Lord that hung on the cross. Our Lord that was buried in the grave. But our Lord that was triumphant over the grave. And now is at the right hand of the Father. Let us remember that our children, all of them, every one of them, are tomorrow's church and part of today's church, an important part of today's church. Let's remember that it is our bodies which is the temple of God, which we can destroy or pollute or honor God with. It is His Spirit that dwells in our temples, and we should honor Him as such. And this building, it is a place of worship, whether it's joy for jumping, or whether it's crying for need, or whether it's in prayer, this building is to be used for God. Let us remember these things that our lives would be a house of prayer. I cannot help but go over the Palm Sunday message without one last time stressing how we can praise the Lord. It was with palm branches that they took off their outer garments and laid them in the streets as Jesus went down the narrow path into Jerusalem. Sometimes we have to unburden ourselves by taking off our pride, by taking off our inner self and laying it before the Master. Laying it before Him that He can work with you and with me and with us together. If you haven't laid your garments before the Lord, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a more appropriate time than this. What a more appropriate time than to bring before the Lord a life, a temple dedicated to His service. As we sing our last song, The Palms, song number 278, we would ask you, if you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to offer it to Him as a living sacrifice, wholly dedicated to Him.